briefly look at is Psalm 50, and it's verses 7 through 15, and it's on page 405 of your Pew Bible if you have a hard time reading that. It's a little bit small, although we did make you sit up front, so that should help you. I'm going to read this out loud. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." This is the word of the Lord. I want to lift up three points from this passage about what the people of God were doing wrong and what often we do wrong and how we remedy that. I want us to do three things. First, remember who our God is. Okay, remember who our God is. Second, I want us to respond with thanksgiving. So remember who our God is, respond with thanksgiving, and then third, request, and He will answer. Remember who our God is, respond with thanksgiving, and request, and He will answer. That is just a way of praying that I want to commend to you based on this text. If you listen to this text, God is like a good father or good mother, disciplining his children. And I want you to know that when you are disciplined by the Lord, it shows what? It shows that He loves you. That's what Hebrews says. That God disciplines the ones that He loves. When you go through a difficult time, it is not because God doesn't love you, it's because He does love you. And He's disciplining his children. He says, "Hear," which, like, listen up, people, my people, my kids, listen to me. Stern, but listen to how He says it. Oh, my people, my sons, my daughters, listen to me, and I will speak. Oh, Israel, I will testify against you. That doesn't sound good, what's coming. Testify against you. But then he says, softens that, "I am God, your God." Not a distant deity that you can't approach. I'm your God. I'm personal. And then he goes into their way of connecting with God, of bringing themselves into the presence of God. "Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me." It's not because God's people are not offering sacrifices. In fact, they are continually offering sacrifices. And I want to point out that tonight is, in the Jewish faith, in the Jewish calendar, the most holy day of the year. You know what today is? It's Yom Kippur, which that means, Yom means day, Kippur means to atone. It is the day of atonement in the Jewish calendar. And that is the day when the temple was around in Jerusalem, when it was the one day when one of the priests could go into the Holy of Holies, into the center of the temple where the presence of God dwelled, and they would bring blood, the blood of a sacrificed animal, and they would put it on the holy of holiest places. And they would then take another animal, a goat, and they would lay all of the sins of the people of God on this goat. and they would send it off into the wilderness. That was the scapegoat. That's where we get the word. That happened on this day, on the Day of Atonement. So why do we not bring sacrifices? Because we don't need to. Because Jesus is our sacrifice. He paid the price with His blood once and for all. We never have to offer any kind of sacrifice like that again. That's why, to me at least, it is heartbreaking that our friends and our neighbors across the street continue to celebrate the Day of Atonement, not seeing that Jesus fulfills the Day of Atonement, not seeing that He is our sacrifice, that He has come to save us, to rescue us from our sin once and for all. It was entirely appropriate for God's people to be sacrificing back here in this day because Jesus had not come. And it's not that they aren't sacrificing. So then what is the problem? I think it is that they have not remembered who their God is. Because it says, it's not that they're not offering sacrifices. That's good that they're offering sacrifices. But it's the way in which they are doing it. He says, God, I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. We do not have to live in an agrarian society to understand what that analogy means, do we? The cattle on a thousand hills. Every resource is God's. It's all God's. He goes on, look at how he says mine three different times. The cattle on a thousand hills. I know all of the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. You know, when there's a two-year-old, and the two-year-old is saying, mine, 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 what do? We correct them, right? Lovingly, and then maybe later on, frustratingly, but we correct them. Why? Because, well, no, it's really not yours, and you need to share. The only person that we can't say that about is the living God. Everything is His. Everything in heaven, everything on earth, all the cattle and the animals and your life and mine, every breath that we take, that's God's. That's a gift from God. And so I think what is happening here is that the people of Israel do something that you and I often do. They're giving their sacrifices and saying, in return, I've been a good boy. Been a good girl, God, it's your turn to pay me back. Look at all I've done for you. Look at all I've sacrificed. It's your turn to pay me back, God. And God simply says, if I were hungry, would I go to you? No, everything's mine. I don't need you. I don't need anything from you. Friends, remember who our God is that we approach in prayer. Our God is... He can do anything He wants. He has every resource here at His disposal. He can give you whatever you need anytime you ask. He can give you, if you are in financial trouble, He can answer your prayer immediately. I don't mean a prayer like I only got two Benzes. Can I have a third? I don't mean that. I don't mean, can I have more and more and more and more? If you are in serious financial trouble, and you need help, you need to know that the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to our God. He could give it to you today. Do you remember our God before you go to Him? Just as we are getting ready to pray, remember our God. Remember who He is. He's mighty and powerful. He can do whatever He pleases. And He longs for us to go to Him. So first, remember who your God is. Second, respond with thanksgiving. Respond to God with thanksgiving. He says in verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. If you know that God owns everything and that every good thing that you have comes from His hand, because it does, what would that do but not elicit great thanksgiving in us? That is the appropriate response to a God who is bigger than we could ever imagine. That's the appropriate response to a God who has given us every good thing that we have. If you are sick and you need healing, thank God for every day that you have been given. If you feel particularly low in this time in your life, maybe it's just today, maybe it's a season in your life, maybe you're going through tremendous difficulty, I want you to thank God for every good thing that He has given you, because He has given you much. Remember who your God is. Respond with thanksgiving. And then finally, request from God what you need, and He will answer. Request. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God loves it when we come to Him. He loves when we come to Him and express what is true. That everything we need comes from Him. That everything we want comes from Him. Now, we may not want the right things, and that's for another time. But when we come to God, we are expressing what is absolutely true, that He has what we need, and we can find what we need from Him and from Him alone. And when we request what we need, and then He gives us what we need, what does that show? It shows our God is all-sufficient. He's everything that we need, and He gives us the things that we need, and then we can glorify Him. So, we remember who our God is. And then we thank Him. We respond with thanksgiving. And then we request. And He delivers us. And we get the joy of answered prayers. And He gets the glory. And that's what we're created to do, to give Him glory. Sometimes, and I use an analogy, you may not have children, but sometimes when our children ask us things for over and over and over, what does it do? It drives us insane. But I also have two children, one in middle school, one in high school now. And when they ask me things, when they actually come to me and say, I'm having a hard time at school or something, or can you help me think through this, Dad? It doesn't happen that much. But when it does happen, do you know how I feel? I feel great. Because I'd love to help them through all their difficulties, but do I have the power to do that? I have very little power. I mean, I can't go and fix their problems, and I can barely help them with math. Humanities, I'm a little better, but math, I'm not. They cannot come to me. I mean, sometimes, but not a lot. But who is our God? And He longs to answer our prayers. He loves it when we come to Him. Why? Because we're expressing what is manifestly true. That He is our good. He has all of our good. And He can supply whatever it is we need. So, tonight, remember who our God is. He's infinitely big, and my words fall woefully short of how great our God is. Respond with thanksgiving. You may be going through a difficult time right now. Begin before you ask, thank Him for everything that you have, and then request, and God will answer. Now, we know that God will not always answer, yes, I will give you that. He will answer, though. He'll answer. He'll answer with yes, or He may answer with no, or He may answer with wait. Those are the only three options, yes, no, or wait. But you need to know this promise that I'm sure you probably have heard before. That God works for the good in all things for those who love Him. And that means that every request that you make, that if you receive that request, that is for your good. And if you get a wait, then that is for your good. And if you get a no, that's for your good. But ask Him, request, and keep requesting. And then when He answers, you get the joy. He gets the glory. Remember your God. Remember how big He is. Respond with thanksgiving and request and watch Him answer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for how big You are. That You spoke the universe into existence. That You stand in heaven with every resource at your fingertips. There are those who are struggling mightily right now. Lord, you have what they need. Father, you have, if there's a difficult, broken relationship, you have the power to mend it. If there's illness, you have the power to heal. If there's someone who is lost, who we love desperately, you have the power to save them. If we're in financial difficulty, Lord, the cattle of 1,000 hills belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. It is yours, yours, yours. And you are the only one who can rightly say mine to everything and everyone who exists. And we come together to acknowledge who you are, to remember who you are, to remind each other who you are. We come together to respond with great thanksgiving in our hearts as we sing these songs. And we come together to request, to ask you for those things that we need, for those things that we want. We thank you that you will hear us and answer us in our time of need, that we would bring you glory. Make that our life's work, our life's desire, to bring you glory so that you get the glory and we get the joy. We pray in Jesus' name.